It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Nearly 10,000 residents of Allegheny County are among the Pennsylvanians who could lose SNAP benefits by June 1st. SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It's part of a federal crackdown to limit food stamps for unemployed or underemployed adults aged 18 to 50 who are not disabled and who are not raising minor children to a three-month period. That has people like Rochelle Jackson, a public policy advocate for Just Harvest, a Southside anti-hunger organization, worried. She joins us now by phone. Rochelle Jackson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
And you can join the conversation with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Rochelle Jackson, why is this change in food stamp policy happening?
Well, this is not actually a completely new requirement. This requirement was actually a part of the 1996 welfare reform. We had it for a few years after it became law. And then, as you know, the requirement is determined by a state or a county or a civil subdivision's unemployment rate. So, you know, the waiver ebbs and flows depending on what the unemployment rate is like in the country. So naturally during the recession and even for Pennsylvania, a little bit before the recession, actually since about 2004, we haven't had the requirement due to fluctuation in our unemployment rate. So when unemployment is high, the requirement is waived and a state can apply for a waiver with the United States Department of Agriculture for the entire state, for a county or a civil subdivision. So we haven't had the requirement for several years, which is why a lot of people are not familiar with it, and it kind of seems like it's a new requirement, but in fact, it was a part of the actual welfare reform law back in 1996.
So right.
This is a re-education for a lot of people.
Right.
About this requirement.
Sure. It goes back 20 years, but mm-hmm. we haven't had it now for, I want to say, close to 10 years because of the recession, correct?
Correct. Correct.
So have job markets rebounded enough, in your opinion, to reinstitute this?
I mean, that's a yes and a no. They have rebounded enough for the general population of people. There are jobs in Pennsylvania. Our unemployment rate is significantly reduced, and even in Allegheny County, we have our unemployment rate is very low. But for the population of people that this requirement is going to affect, it's not looking so great for them. These are people with significant barriers. Some of those, these are veterans who have their own challenges with regards to finding and keeping employment. These are people who have criminal records that may be from 10, 20 years ago, but nevertheless, it's impacting their ability to be able to find sustainable employment. These are people who are victims of domestic violence. These are people who are homeless and don't have really a roof over their head, let alone being able to find and keep a job. So these are, pregnant moms. This population of people have significant barriers and challenges to actually getting the jobs that are out there. So even though there are jobs there, and some would say there are plenty of jobs, I see we're hiring signs and all businesses riding through communities. But the reality is that for these folks, there are some real barriers and challenges. They have literacy issues. No GED, no high school diploma, some real barriers and challenges to getting employment.
Okay, but if a woman, the way I understand the rules as they are written and implemented, that if a woman is with child or has young children, they are still eligible for these benefits, correct?
They are, as long as they understand. Right. So it's important for the mom to know that, and for the community, because in my experience, and I've been doing this for almost 20 years, just because the law says that someone is eligible doesn't always mean that person gets what they're actually eligible for. So it's important that we all understand sort of the requirements and who's eligible, who's not, who's waived, who's exempted, and all that, which is why Just Harvest is really working kind of hard to do some re-education about this.
And what do people have to do to keep their benefits? There are now requirements that are in place that, as you mentioned, began or were written when this law was implemented 20 years ago. But I'm sure a lot of people are not familiar with what they have to do if they get thrown off of this.
So the way that they would keep their benefits, the law basically states that an individual who is an able-bodied adult without dependent children, they are eligible for 3 months' worth of SNAP benefits continually. And then after that 3-month period, they need to be working at least 20 hours a week to maintain their food stamps or to continue receiving their food stamps beyond the 90 days. That's the first thing they need to do or could do. The second thing is they could do community service. And the community service, the number of hours that a person needs to do community service is determined by how much food stamp benefits they're receiving, because they take the minimum wage and sort of do a calculation. For someone who's receiving the maximum amount of SNAP benefits, which is $194 a month, they would be required to do about 6 hours a week of community service to continue to receive that $194 a month. So it equates to about 26, 27 hours a month of community service that they would be required to do. They can also do job training or be in a work training program. They could also go to school, get, you know, a GED program, adult basic education, English as a second language. They could go to college. They could do, you know, some type of a technical training program. Those hours that they spend in education would also count towards that requirement.
$194 a month.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
It's not, and it doesn't. It really does not get somebody from the beginning to the month to the end. But for these individuals, who many don't have any other type of income, you know, veterans, you know, who are not getting veterans benefits, these are, you know, they have no other cash. They're not working. So this is all they have to feed themselves each month, which is why we're really concerned, because if you take this away from them, then they really have nothing else. You know, they have no other means to support themselves, or at least to feed themselves.
Right. And the amount that they are getting is barely enough to do what you just described. And is that the same for someone who has children?
It is not. For each you know, person in the household, there's an increase of about $80 or so per person. So if there's two people, three people, it goes up from 194 based on the number of people that are in the family.
Still not that much.
Still not that much, no.
We're talking about the 10,000 residents or so of Allegheny County who are among the Pennsylvanians who could lose SNAP benefits by June 1st. SNAP, again, stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Organizations like Just Harvest are going to have to pick up the slack for those folks, and they're trying to help people maintain their benefits. And we're talking with Rochelle Jackson, who is a public policy advocate for Just Harvest, a Southside anti-hunger organization. If you have a comment or question, if you know someone, or perhaps you yourself are in a precarious situation and have questions or concerns, you can call us in the few minutes we have remaining in this segment at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM. On Twitter at ESSPGH. Rochelle, I'm wondering why these people are referred to as the least employable. Certainly, people that may not have the kind of education that others have something to offer. Is there a stigma that evolves out of this kind of pigeonholing of people?
Absolutely. You know, someone who has a criminal background, you know, history is not necessarily less employable. You know, he has a history, he made a mistake or she made a mistake, and it could have been, like I said, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And that person has done everything they needed to do in order to, you know, rehabilitate themselves. However, some employers will look at that record, and just by virtue of seeing that record, will negate that person and his ability or her ability to be able to do a job. So unfortunately, that, you know, that they can't even get into the door, you know, for an interview to even have a conversation to, you know, demonstrate that they're not the person that's reflected on that paper. You know, and there is some, you know, merit to that, because a lot of these people don't have a lot of education, a lot of training. There are some literacy issues there, and some of them, you know, may have physical or mental disabilities that have not been documented. So that's still yet to be determined. But they do have, I wouldn't say that they're less employable, but they do have barriers and challenges that maybe a lot of us do not have, that, you know, that prevent them from being. So they need to take some other steps, and they need to have some other accommodations. But they are definitely capable of being employed, and, you know, I want to encourage that. And I will say that, you know, these people are not people that don't want to work. They want to work. You said it yourself, $194 is not a whole lot of money. If you give someone an opportunity, to get a job, you know, to have some wages and to make some money in order to support themselves, they will take that opportunity. So I just want to dispel the notion that these people are lazy and that they just want to collect the money and not have to do anything for it. That's not the case. I'm all for that, and I think they would be too, but I don't think it's fair to punish them or penalize them for something that is out of their control.
What
is someone hiring.
Sure. What will organizations like Just Harvest have to do to help people like this who might end up falling through the cracks in the system? Your focus, your worry is whether people are going to be able to put food on the table. So this adds to the challenge of your organization. How will you go about meeting that surge in demand from people who are not getting money through the SNAP program?
So we don't, Just Harvest is a public policy advocacy organization, and unfortunately we're not like a food pantry, so we don't have tangible food or money that we could give people to buy food. But what we can do is to help facilitate, you know, the policy and the way this policy is implemented so that it has the, you know, is least amount of impact on the individuals that are affected by it. We've been working with the Department of Human Services for several months now. In terms of implementing this policy, making sure the caseworkers are trained adequately, making sure that they're taking advantage of every federal option and waiver that we can possibly take advantage of in terms of which counties and some of the civil subdivisions can be waived, what options we have with regards to how they do community service documentation to sort of minimize the impact, making sure that the department is reminding caseworkers and the community that they do have supportive services to support these individuals with getting to job training programs or getting to school or even getting to community service sites, because they will need to use public transportation or gas in order to get to these places, and the department can support them with that. So we've been making sure that from a policy perspective, all these things are in place and that the impact is minimal. The other thing that we're doing is we're partnering with United Way 211 to sort of put together, and we've been working with nonprofits, and we're sort of encouraging nonprofits to contact us if they have volunteer opportunities or community service opportunities for individuals, because we're putting together sort of this database of nonprofit organizations to help facilitate the process for these people. So if they are in a position where they don't have a job and they're not working 20 hours a week and they can't get attached immediately to a work or job training program, community service is a viable option for them. They can call 211 or even go onto Just Harvest's website. We're using Volunteer Match, and they can, you know, look up what community organizations have opportunities for them, and they can contact those organizations to get attached to them in order to do their community service. We want to make sure that no one is lost trying to figure out this process of trying to do a community service activity and don't know where to go and what organizations to contact. We also want to make it easy for them in terms of finding organizations that are close to where they live at, so that it's not a big transportation barrier for them in order to fulfill this requirement.
We've been talking with Rochelle Jackson. She's a public policy advocate for Just Harvest, a Southside anti-hunger organization. Rochelle Jackson, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, we will talk about the life and times of Pittsburgh native Gertrude Stein that have inspired an opera called 27. The lead performers will be here next as Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.